Yes, by his blood sacrifice, we have forgiveness of sins because of God's rich grace. God gave us that grace fully and freely with full wisdom and understanding. He let us know his secret plan. This was that God wanted and what he planned to do through Christ. You know, God spoke to us today and said what he wanted to do and that it was no problem for him to do it. It's important that we understand, believe, and stand on that fact, that it not just be a thought, but that it be part of our life. That it not be just something that we nod to, but something that rises up in us and says, yeah, amen. God's goal was to finish his plan when the right time came. He planned that all things in heaven and on earth be joined together with Christ as the head. In Christ, we were chosen to be God's people. God had already planned for us to be his people because that was what he wanted, and he is the one that makes everything agree with what he decides and wants. He makes everything agree with what he decides and wants. And he wants us to come into agreement with him. And so it's a growing into a place, being established in the faith. It's looking, it's believing, it's grabbing the fact of, okay, yeah, let's enter that rest. Yes, let's fast from these things, because the things that God wanted us to fast from are the things that cause us grief. You know? And so we have those. These are suggestions for our good. They aren't something that God says, you know, this is just to please him, it's to please us. We should desire to be God pleasers because he's a people pleaser. Imagine that. God is a people pleaser. He desires to please people. He won't compromise. He won't change the way that he is because he is God. But his desire is that we come into the place to be pleased by God or pleased with God. You know, he says in the Word to take great pleasure in the Lord. We like to have people take pleasure in us, don't we? It's nice for us to know that we have pleased someone, that they appreciate the pleasure that we bring them. You know, pleasure is a good thing. God rejoices in the pleasure of his people. You know, to know God and to accept God and to believe God and allow God to reveal himself in the way that he says, you know, because those aren't always the things that people are thinking about when they're thinking of God. Well, I believe that a key, there's all kinds of keys. The thing is to have the right key, to take advantage of the key. And if there is a key, if someone, and I've read lots of books, and when someone says a key thing is, I try to pay close attention to what the key thing is. Because, you know, a janitor has many keys on his key ring. And each one of those keys are good for something. When I go to the school to sub, there is one key on a green plastic bracelet that will open any door that I need to substitute in. And so if that key is missing, it's not a good deal. Sometimes somebody will take it and it'll end up in their pocket. I've had it end up in my pocket and raced to the school to get it put back because I know how important that key is. And sometimes if it isn't there, when I go to look, I think, oh, geez, am I the last one that had it? You know, I'm always relieved to find the key because that key will get me into the place that I want, and then I don't have to go find somebody that has another key. But at the same time, if I go to one of the other teachers who has the key to their specific room, they can't open the room that I want to get into. They can only open their own room. So I need the master key. And so I believe that God gives us master keys. And the thing that God revealed to me this week, I was driving over to Pier, and he and I were rejoicing and having a good time, and he reminded me of the chorus that we sing, "You are my everything." And the way that I understand it now, as I'm telling you, is that, like, I don't know how many years ago he gave us that chorus. But a long time. But that chorus was a key that fit a door that I was not truly aware of until this week when he pointed out to me the progression of that song. Nothing could be better than worshiping you, mighty God. Worship is a key to the presence of God because he desires to be worshiped. And Scripture tells us that we must believe that he is. If we believe that God is, we believe that he's mighty God. You know, I mean, he's obviously mighty. He created the heavens and the earth. And so we have this understanding. So as we sing the song, we say, "And so I worship you, mighty God." Now, anyone who has any sort of a belief that God exists will acknowledge that, well, obviously he's a mighty God. Well, sure, God's mighty. You know? But almighty, that means that he's mighty above everything. Well, yeah, I'll give him that, maybe. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's not an agreement, oh yeah, he's almighty. It's a, okay, it's fine. Mighty, almighty, it's just words. I mean, that's the not understanding portion of it. But God wants us to understand that, yes, he's mighty, but he's also almighty. And then the song speaks of uplifted hands, hearts filled with love, mouths filled with praise. The importance of that because it's taken us somewhere. And then by the time we get to the chorus, it says, "You are almighty. You are above all things. You are my everything." Is he making God everything? Opens us up to his mightiness, his almightiness, his above all thingness. Because the most important thing is that he's our everything. And if we have that understanding, if we have that, "God, you're my everything," then we always have that to go back to. We have that confidence that, you know, he can do anything. But because he's my everything and I'm so special to him, he will, because it's not a problem. It's just not a problem. Because we've made him our everything. And so it's not a problem. And so while we declare that he's our everything, all of these other doors have been opened. And the more we come to know him, the deeper that the relationship comes with him, the more automatic that those things are, and the more open we are to, yeah. So when he is our everything, that opens the door to all things. But until he's our everything, we're only sure about some things. I mean, you know, some people will believe, well, yeah, I know God can heal. And that very "God can heal" reveals that they don't expect God to heal. And so if we don't expect God to heal, then we have closed the door on that. If we don't expect God to hear our prayers and answer them, if we don't believe that he has heard us before we prayed, so that we can say, "Hey, God's doing something. He's doing something." How do you know that? Well, he's my everything. And so, I got a choice. I can give him some things or I can give him everything. Just the same way that we do. As Vicky said, you know, fast from our harsh words. Every time we say a harsh word, we have an opportunity to not say it or to say it. And if we choose, I want to say it, and I'm going to say it, and I'll get over it later. Now, none of us would go, so there. But it's sort of what we're saying. Now, the more that he's our everything, the quicker we are to rein those things in. The quicker we are to recognize those things. Because we realize that the words of our mouths are going to affect the blessings of the Lord. Because we open a door or we close a door. And then the question becomes, what do I want more? God's way or my way? Is he really everything to me, or is he okay to me? You see, God knows that he's our everything. He just wants us to agree with him. And so in the midst of worship, one day when we're worshiping, he just throws his key. And then he left that with us. You know, we have a lot of worship songs that we do once. Some that I really enjoy and I try to remember and get back to, but they aren't there again. You know, that used to be a little unsettling. How can I not know my own songs? But they aren't my songs, they're his songs. Some songs he just gives us for a moment. It ministers to somebody, it does something, it accomplishes something, but it's not something that needs to just go on and on. And then others, they just stick. Now, they may not stick with you, but they stick with me. And if they stick with me, you're going to be stuck with them. Because they'll come up. And when God says, I want to hear that one, when he pushes the button, the jukebox runs. That's all there is to it. I used to hate being the jukebox when I played in the bars. You know, the only requests I wanted were requests for things that I'd done before. Because I wasn't a jukebox. But I am God's jukebox. He wants it, I'll get it. And so when I consider, you know, that God says, hey, nothing could be better than worshiping you. Yeah, I get that, God. And so I worship you. You deserve to be worshiped, you're mighty God. You just are. And, my heart fills with love and my mouth fills with praise. And the only place it can go is to you. You are almighty. You are above all things. You're my everything. Yeah! You know? And he likes it. He likes it. I can just see him in heaven going, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. They're getting to the part I really like. See, I'm their everything! Hell just goes, ugh! Because God said it's going to be that way. People are going to see me as everything. And the devil said, that ain't going to happen. And he was wrong. And something so simple as just declaring to God, you're everything. What doors open? But the doors open even wider when we realize what we've done. How our faith has built, how it has grown, how we have come to that place that when we say, you're my everything, that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And yeah, you are. Because you see, no matter what you're going through, no matter what road you're going down, no matter how good or how bad anything is, when we just come back to that place of, wait a minute, God, you are my everything. Because then if we get too high, I've been reading a book, and it's a good, terrible book, because this book is talking about restoring the anointing, but while this person is talking about restoring people's anointings, she's sharing about how anointings, to restore something, that means it had to leave, you know? And she's talking in it about it, and I'm reading it, and I'm going, oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, wow, God. Because I see so many, because I can see when she's saying it the way that some people just give up. It's like as I'm reading it, I'm sensing what those people were feeling, going, "Oh, that's awful." But folks, you understand something? How easy it is to take your foot off the gas. And how, when you've arrived to a place of comfort, how easy it is for the enemy to just say, "This is a good place to stop." How easy, when things seem easy, to cease to depend. And the enemy is always lurking about, seeking whom he may devour. And so as I'm reading this, and she's writing about some people that had powerful ministries and imploded in the most disgusting ways. But we have to remember that there but for the grace of God go I. It could happen. The enemy has tempted every one of you at some time or another. You've had opportunities to just kind of, at what age do you retire from pressing hard after God? And yet, the enemy is always there to try to stop. One guy that was at one time the head of Vineyard, he came in alongside John Wimber, and when John Wimber got sick, he moved in and took over for John Wimber. He had been a worship leader. I'm not positive, but I think maybe I was at one of his meetings in Minnesota 29 years ago. I loved the Vineyard worship, and it was like, this is normal, you know. I remember going to that, and Dick Dugan taking me and said, you may not really be comfortable with this. I said, "Are you kidding? This is my life. This is worship, man. This is the way that it is." And I don't know if it was this guy or not. But anyway, he takes over that place, and in 2.5 years, just walks away. And 5 years later, he's not even going to church. Oh, man. But God restored him. But you know what restored him? What restored him was as he wandered into a little place and just began to worship God. And doesn't ever want to leave the little place. Because in that place he could be big with God. Folks, don't ever quit being big with God. And never quit desiring to be bigger with God. Not big and important to God, but bigger with God, bigger in God, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, being built up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Because when He is everything, you're ready for all things. See, what we're getting to, what we're coming to, is to the place where God opens the door so that I can share with you what He's going to share with me about all things. Because he told us back a little bit about knowing the unknown and that comfort of knowing God even when you don't know. And that's fine. And then bringing to remembrance the dream of a couple of years ago about, that tunnel that I mentioned in the dream, that when I came into the dream, that tunnel was there. And we glimpsed at the tunnel, but then we went right to the place. And in that place is where God showed me how everything was in the place and everything in the place was in its place. And that there's more places in the place than have yet been explored. But it's in exploring the place that we come to realize that everything in its place is Him and He's everything. And that dependence, you see, that's what happens. Children become dependent upon their parents. And when they begin to get independent, every parent will say, "You never knew how good you had it." Isn't that true? And very seldom is there an adult that goes through a time that doesn't say to somebody, "Wow, we didn't know how good we had it." And then you have people saying, oh, to be a kid again. I might go along with that part. But when people say, oh, to be a teenager again, I don't necessarily buy into that. The only reason I would want to be a teenager again is so I could live it with God as everything. I think it would be a whole different story. But it don't matter. What matters is the now. But we have to come to that place where we realize, hey, He is everything. He's capable of everything. And when we're comfortable with Him being everything and expecting everything from God and expecting God to be interested in everything and just kind of knowing this is a good place, then we'll be comfortable with all things. Because all things is a big thing. All things is beyond our ability to comprehend. But when He's our everything, then all things are possible with God. So then, cancer is just cancer. Finances are just finances. You know? Everything is just God's able. When we're comfortable with all things, then nothing goes, whoops. This was more than I bargained for. The day that I drove in the fog to Rapid, the very thing that I hung on to all the time was, God, You said I would be okay. I asked You about this trip, and You said I would be okay. And so if You say I'm going to be okay, this is a dynamite trip. And I spent a lot of time seeing nothing but listening for what He would teach me. Going, You know I'm dependent on You, God. And I believe more than once, as I rode along in that fog, I was singing, You are my everything, mighty God. And even when I got an email from a friend that said, in so many words, you know, maybe sometimes you need to be smart. I just said, well, you know, I just trusted God. I wasn't about to agree with Him because I heard God. Now, I would never stand and say everybody should do it once. But I would say if you hear God, you can trust Him. So understand this, that God sometimes gives us keys before we know what door they open. And it's opening doors all the way along, and you didn't realize what was opening them. You know? You see, I really do. It's like when He started to explain that song to me, I'm going, oh, You gave us that to get us to this, and we've been getting to this and didn't even know how we were getting there. Because, you know, there are some times when God gets us to places and He takes us to places that if He told us the places we were going before we went, we might hesitate. What was going to go on to get here might not trip our trigger, but as we're going through it with God comforting us, it's okay. It works. You know? I mean, just think, Erica. I can talk about you, can't I? Okay? Yeah. Remember when you were busy trying to get that piece of junk out of a field that you weren't sure would run? And we thought that would be good if you just had that piece of junk outside of the field so you'd have wheels. When you go outside, you look at that nice Dodge truck sitting out there and see that it's not a piece of junk that came out of a field, is it? And God was getting her to that. And she wouldn't trade that for a piece of junk out of a field, although she would have been satisfied with that, but God had a better plan. You know? Sometimes we push for our way and we get the junk out of the field. Because even though we know in our heart, God, you're my everything, God, you understand, I got to do it my way. You know, that My Way song, regrets, I've had a few, but then a few to mention. You know, I mean, it's like, I did it my way. I messed up and I'm proud of it. I did it my way too for a long time. But now he takes our regrets, so have them, Lord. I don't want the regrets. The only thing the regrets are good for is if they can be helped to build somebody else up. When James, Dossett, I think his name is, anyway, the guy that called me from prison and told me that he wanted to be a, he said that Philip said that I would be his pastor, and so he wanted me to be his pastor and started telling me about himself. And I said, oh, I've done all that. He said, you? I could see his face over the phone. You? Yeah, me. You did that? Yeah, me. And God restored me. He'll restore you too. He'll make things better because he's everything. Make him your everything. And when you make him your everything, you're on your way to all things. But if he's just something in your life, he's just sometimes in your life, he's just, you know, he's not unimportant, he's just not that important, then we're teetering on trouble. This week I talked to a guy, and he told me about someone that he worked with, and that this someone that he worked with, and they were, the guy was at the company Bible study all the time, but things weren't necessarily, you know, God wasn't his everything. This was how the conversation ended up being, but he and his wife went to a Valentine's thing, and his wife came under such conviction that afterwards she told him that she'd had an affair. And he crawled into the Bible study, kind of, sort of, and he was reeling, and, you know, and this person just told him, he said, well, you know, one thing, he encouraged him, one thing, don't listen to any bad advice, just go with God's advice. Worked with him on that, and that sort of a thing, and we were talking, and when we got off, God just spoke to me about the fact that, you know, sometimes what happens is, we receive in our life the way we have treated God. Not as a punishment, but we open doors. We either open doors to the great things of God or we open doors to the things of the devil. And unfaithfulness to God can bring about unfaithfulness to us from things in life. Now, I'm not promoting a doctrine there, but I'm simply saying that the way that we treat God oftentimes will result in what we receive. Not always, because the enemy always seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, and whom he may devour. But the first consideration is, what meaneth this? And you see, if God is everything, then we'll be prepared in all things. And we will look at all things as something that God can handle. And so the Lord's appeal to his people is, let me be your everything. The church is Christ's body. It's filled with him. He makes everything complete in every way. He makes everything complete, so then he should be our everything. And he's our everything at our beckoning call, when we call upon his name. Now the enemy says, well, not just anybody can call, you know, you've got to be in this and that, or you gotta have everything perfect. That isn't what he said. He said, just call. When you need me, call me. Because he's more interested in answering than we are in calling. And more, the more we call, the more he answers. The more he answers, the more we call. And the more we become convinced that he's not just something, he's everything. And then he's really something. And then he's not just mighty, he's not just almighty, he's not just above a few things, he's above all things. And man, I am so glad that he's my everything. That prepares us for all things. And folks, we've got to be all things people. We've got to be prepared for all things, not for our sakes, but for this world's sakes. Be prepared wherever you are, whenever you are, in whatever circumstance, just always ready. The engine ready to help somebody escape, help somebody break through, help somebody break out. Always ready, because if we can declare, I've made him my everything, so I am prepared in all things. And then you have to remind yourself sometimes. That's where speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs comes in. That's where remembering and being open to the Holy Spirit when, you know, Vicki made herself very responsible this morning. Not only did she hear it from God, she read it to everybody. She challenged everybody with it. So, man alive, every time something comes up, she'll be able to hear the Holy Spirit say, ah, you're fasting. Well, that's okay. That's what we want, isn't it? That's what we want, because it is for freedom that he set us free. Not so that we would get by in a few things, but so that we would be more than conquerors in all things. And so the best thing we can do is say to the Lord, you're my everything. You're my everything. Remember, you're my everything. I put all my trust in you. You're my everything. Go to the mirror and say to yourself, remember, God, you're everything. In the Old Testament, they had little scripture boxes that they wore on their foreheads. Pouches on their hips, you know. If their hand swung along the side, oh, I got the word here. You know, that thing banging on your forehead all the time was a constant reminder. Well, I'm not going to wear a box on my forehead, but I guess if necessary, I would. If you ever see me with one, Vicki will say, well, he's just being a little forgetful. Isn't he? Got that banging on his head. Or he woke up this morning and I didn't like what he was, so I told him to put on the box. Where's your box, Roger? But allow him to be your everything, because that's what he desires. He came to be our everything. He makes everything complete in every way. And this is what the Spirit of God is here for, to make us and present us complete in every way. Amen? So, Father, we thank you. We thank you that we've been singing to you for a long time, you're our everything, and now we have even better understanding of it. You are above all things. Those aren't just words in a song. Those aren't just words in the Bible. That's the truth. You are above all things. You are mighty and you are almighty. And so we give you glory and praise and the honor that's due your name. And I pray that in each and every one of us that witness of the Spirit would come in and that we would just feel that anointing of you being everything. Continually remind us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.